Got three words. Enjoy the ride. Look, they're exciting. They're exciting. People are talking about this team. When's the last time the Bucks were exciting? They're entertaining. Get your buns down to BillCurryFord.com or get your keister down to Bill Curry Ford on Dale Mabry. Lee, you and I have been to that showroom. It's a mile north of the stadium. And Sean Sullivan will take very good care of you when he's not talking about the 2020 draft and what Jason Light should have done in the 2019 draft. He's making deals on Fords, and nobody does it better than Sean Sullivan.
Pin Chasers, they have their student holiday lane pass, which is just an incredible deal. Students, kindergarten through 12th grade, get 15 games of bowling for less than $1 per game. Shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. Reload your pass anytime between now and January 7th, and then you'll get another 10 games for just $10, and those games never expire. Every day there is a daily special at Pin Chasers. They have three locations. You can go to their website, see all the daily offers. Dollar Mania every Monday night. Just get to pinchasers.net, reserve a lane, book a holiday party. Pin Chasers, we love them too.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to once again another edition of the world-renowned, the custodian of Canton, the king of Pasco County, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. You know him, you love him. It's Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. Ira, you got to be doing good today. You went down to Buffalo Wild Wings. You hung with Ozzy, the sports junkie, and Zach, formerly known as the Man Beast intern, and the Bucks happened to win.
I never seen anybody like the Ozzy character, Lee. You know him. You've met him. The guy was sitting at a table. He had a spot for me. He had a couple of buddies with him. He had a megaphone with him. And during the game...
Electronic with the trigger?
No, a real megaphone. He says he picked it up in a dollar store once.
Like in the 1930s cheerleader thing?
Every time the Bucks made a play, he'd say, Sean Bunting with the pick. And everybody in Buffalo Wild Wings was looking at the guy like, who are you? I had my Santa Fe salad. My vodka cranberry went down very nicely.
Chocolate cake?
No chocolate cake, but the people right next to me had one hell of a dessert. Boy, did that look good. Came home and we had stone crabs. Now that is the way to celebrate a Buck victory. Now, Lee, I just want to tell our listeners, our listener base, which is growing by the week. look out, Nancy Grace. The way we do things in a glamorous style. We are sitting in a parking lot at a Dunkin' Donuts in Hudson, Florida. And we don't care where it is and we don't care when it is. We are going to break down this Buck game and talk about your favorite football team like nobody's business. And I'm going to start off right at the top. And I wrote it yesterday, DeKemper. You've worn me down. You have worn me down, DeKemper. Winston's coming back. And you know what? I think I'm okay with it. A man's entitled to change his opinion.
Sure, but it wasn't like I'm trying to con people's opinions. And the only reason I was so pro-Jameis, and still am, I see the good. And I think the good outweighs the bad. And you might be able to limit the bad. But the good is like, good luck finding anybody to replace that in the near future. You're just not. And that's the only reason why I was so pro-Jameis. And all, of course, given this wretched history of quarterbacks with this franchise. You think it's a done deal? He's coming right now, as we speak, December 16th. It's a done deal. James is coming back. Nothing he does, if he craps all over himself the next 2 weeks, it still doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters. First, he could say, I didn't have any receivers, you know, which Perryman's coming on. But Winston, he's done too much in the last 6 weeks. They're winning games, and they're scoring a ton of points. Those were my two arguments against Winston. Yeah, I know he threw and he threw another pick yesterday. By the way, they got to rub that play out of the playbook. If you're listening to me, Leftwich, get rid of that play.
I'm starting to think that...
Get rid of that little slant over the middle. Come on, now.
I'm starting to think it has something to do with the scripted plays. By the way, pretty wild. Five times this year, Jameis has thrown an interception in his first possession. Do you know what the Bucs' record is in those games?
Possession. I do because you told me, but tell our listeners.
Bucs are 4-1. I know picks are bad, but if you're throwing a pick on the opening possession and you're winning four of your of every five games when you do that, to quote Jameis, who quoted Bruce Arians, keep firing. I mean, if that's going to be the case, gee, Ira, we got these girls walking past. They're giving us the evil eye.
Never mind,
looking like a couple of drug dealers here sitting in your car.
They probably heard me warming up to Winston, and they don't like Winston. I'll tell you another change this year, Lee. Now, that was a good start. I got another one. Until this year, in the previous 4 years, when the Bucs threw more than 40 passes, they were 2-16. This year, they're 4-4. That is a big difference. I don't know if that speaks to Leftwich. I don't know if it speaks to Winston's weapons, but not only they're scoring a lot of points early. They used to be very slow starters.
Cutter, yeah.
Slow start in the season, slow start in games. Those days look like they're over. 25-0 in Jacksonville. What was it, 21-3 Sunday?
Yeah.
They are taking charge from the start. Everybody, a lot of people thought this was a trap game. Yeah, because you know, the Bucs are missing Evans, and the Bucs might actually overlook somebody if they're favored on the road, and they took care of business early. Now, having said that, it got a little bit antsy in the third quarter. It did. You know why? Because they can't run the ball.
That's it. You know, Arians and Leftwich have this mentality, we get a big lead, we're going to start running it. Well, you can't run it. So you might as well keep throwing. And they're just, I guess it's a little bit of stubbornness. I mean, they have to know. Ira, if everybody and their brother can see it, if all these analysts, ex-GMs that are on these networks and do these podcasts, and these ex-quarterbacks, if they can see it, you got to think Arians can see. He's not blind. But I guess it's just a habit. I don't know. Like,
how can you go 4 years without being able to run the ball? 4 years, you're changing the running backs. Well, what's going on?
By the way, a lot of people, I got this on Twitter, a little bit, a gentleman, and forgive me, I forgot his name. You know, it's very, very fair. I just don't believe they have the offensive line that can produce a running attack. That's a fair observation, but I replied, so I don't buy it, and this is why. Three of the Buck starters on the offensive line right now, as we speak, also started in 2015.
And you're counting Donovan Smith, right.
When the Bucs last had a 1,000-yard rusher, it was Doug Martin. Was it 1,200 yards he ran for that year?
And a big year for my man Charlie Sims.
Yeah.
Who's out of football.
Yeah, he's out of football. And two of the three that I'm referring to were rookies. So I can't really buy that the majority of the Bucs' current offensive line 3-4 years ago also blocked when those guys were green as grass rookies.
And now they got a different O-line coach, a different running back coach. Nothing changes, Lee. Nothing ever changes.
Bad running backs. You know, they don't value running back. Arians has said that. I can't say light's privileged because he did spend a second-round pick, but you know what? That doesn't mean you're going to value it. So I wrote this Friday night. It was published midnight Saturday. I expect the Cardinals to release David Johnson. He's like the fourth highest paid running back, and he's on the bench.
Three years ago, he was the number one pick in fantasy leagues.
Well, 2 years ago, when Leftwich was the coordinator in Arizona, he had a heck of a bounce back year. He had 900 yards rushing. And obviously, he did well with Arians. I would be very, very, very surprised if the Bucs didn't at least kick tires on the guy.
Now, he's not the same player, Lee.
He's not the same player. He's having a lousy year this year. And I don't know if that's because of Cliff Kingsbury's air raid offense. You know, square peg, round hole. I know he's going to be 28. And I know the closer you get to 30, the chances of you being a productive running back are slim to none. Yes, there's exceptions. There are Frank DeGores, Shady McCoy. But for every Shady McCoy, you've got 20 running backs who aren't worth a damn when they're 30. My gosh, if they can get David Johnson, you get him, you get Travis Etienne, now you're cooking with gas. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I don't think the Bucs are going to draft Etienne. I just don't. So,
you know, Lee, I think we're facing this the point in the season where this question has to be asked and answered. And I'll start it off. We've been here before, DeKemper. We all remember 2016. It wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cutter's first season. And all of a sudden, a terrible defense gets hot during a five-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
They were 8-5 at one point. All right. They only won one of their last three games with the playoffs on the line. But it was a young team. And Lee, when that season ended, there was every reason. Let's not be revisionist history. There was every reason to believe this team, this franchise, had turned a corner. And the future looked very, very bright. Hard Knocks cameras came in. I think that's an excuse. I'm not going to blame anything on Hard Knocks. They brought in a couple of shady characters. Speaking of Shady McCoy.
Ding, ding, ding.
They brought
ding,
in
ding,
shady
ding.
Characters. And I'm not saying Chris Baker single-handedly brought this franchise to its knees. But Lee, they followed with 5-11 and 5-11. And it crushed the spirit of Buck Nation and our readers and our listeners. And we got to be careful. Because here we are with a chance to go 8-8 or even 9-7 if they win out. Mm-hmm. With a 7-1 second half of the season. I mean, that's only happened once in franchise history in 1999. That's it. Even the 02 championship team went 6-2 and 6-2. So this is rare ground that they're poised to do. Now, they got to beat Houston and Atlanta. And Houston's a decent team. They're 9-5.
Houston's a very good team.
Yeah. They're unpredictable, but they got talent. But, Lee, you know, we can't go crazy that this sets up the Bucks for a huge 2020 unless they have a very successful offseason. They got to have a very successful offseason. They got to make smart decisions with the salary cap, smart decisions in free agency and the draft. They got to get another right tackle. I would be shocked if they drafted a cornerback in the first three rounds. I mean, you can't.
Would you really?
Yeah. I think they'd bring in a veteran cornerback in free agency. I think that's a smarter play. And there's going to be somebody out there.
Will they have the money? Because they got a lot of guys that got to sign.
I've been told they will not be constrained in a manner that a lot of Buck fans are nervous about. I've been told that.
I'm just going to say this. I know who you were talking to recently. I'll just leave it at that.
And it's not Ozzy from Sarasota.
Let's just say it's a good source. And I'll just leave it at that.
Does that make sense to you that they're not going to be up against the cap necessarily?
Knowing who you spoke with, it makes all the sense in the world because they would know.
Well, there's expiring contracts. There are.
Yeah, there are. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a
Perriman,
bunch of them.
By the way, who seems to be coming on now.
I'd give him another one-year deal, Lee.
Of course. Yeah, I would. Now, getting back to, you know, don't get ahead of yourself. We've been there before. The offense we saw yesterday, and I guess you could say what we saw the week prior, this is the offense every Bucks fan expected when the Bucks signed DeSean Jackson. And never worked out with DeSean Jackson. Outside of a glimpse here or there, it never worked out. I'll just use one word to describe DeSean Jackson. And you're wondering why that team collapsed? I'll use one word. Cancer.
That's a strong, strong
cancer.
Word.
Cancer. He got in a fight with Monken. We know he got fined for blowing off meetings, sleeping in meetings. He freaked out on a Christmas display.
We also know there's things that you can't discuss on this podcast.
One major thing. I don't think Perriman's a cancer. I mean, Perriman seems pretty darn happy. I talked to him last week, and I asked him, I said, why are you coming on strong? And he just smiled. He goes, I really can't put a finger on it. He goes, the only thing I can think of, and Jameson said the same thing, that Perriman, after every practice, he stays late, and him and James throw.
Shaq Barrett ain't no cancer.
No, he's
no cancer. He ain't
no cancer. And it sounds like, by the way, your observation, Ira, and maybe you know a little bit more, maybe you can break some news, I don't know. Have you heard any inside whisperings what's going to happen with Shaq Barrett? The reason why I ask that is, Arians said after the game Sunday night, he ain't going anywhere.
He said it definitively. He ain't going anywhere.
Jason Light went on the pregame show, as he want to do every week, and he told Gene Decker off, we want him back. Shaq Barrett had kind of beaten around the bush and gave some hints that, like, his agent, Oiler Drew Rosenhaus, is already in negotiations, which wouldn't surprise me. What do you know? Have you heard anything? What happens with Shaq Barrett?
You know what? For Arians to say that in such a definitive style, my interpretation is they're going to franchise him.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because then you know he ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
As far as negotiations, that's an evolving process. Rosenhaus might want him to tap into free agency. Did you blame Rosenhaus?
No, I expect that, actually.
So, what's the other side of that equation? They don't franchise Winston. Don't franchise Winston.
And I don't know this, and I'm speculating. I don't know if it would be cheaper to franchise Shaq and sign Winston or vice versa. I'm leaning toward franchising Shaq only because the projected franchise tag for a linebacker. And there's no designation for outside linebacker or pass rusher. It's linebacker, that's it. And Shaq Barrett's a linebacker. The projected price tag for a franchise on a linebacker is $16
million. That's $11 million less than the quarterback position with Winston.
So I was thinking it might be cheaper to sign Jameis and franchise Shaq. Now,
I'll say this about a bridge deal, Lee. There's a lot of chatter about a bridge deal. You brought it up on this podcast yourself. I'll say this. He ain't going to sign no cheapy bridge deal. I'm not opposed to a bridge deal, but you got to give him the cash, Lee. You got to give him $25 million for 3 years. For a year. Can't get him for $12 million. That's he'll say, I want to go to free agency.
He'll say, I'll see you in Las Vegas.
You got to come up with the cash, but if you don't want to go for 5 or 6 years, you got to make it in Winston's interest in something enticing He's 27 or 28 at the end of that bridge deal, and then he thinks he can cash in again on another contract.
Well, I have heard this figure thrown out there. 2 years, $50 million. Now, before people, you know, have an accident in their pants, hearing $50 million for 2 years, the number 10 quarterback in the NFL for paid his base salary is $25 million. That's number 10. And his name is Derek Carr. Now, would you take Derek Carr or Jameis Winston? I would lean toward Jameis.
And 25 is less than the franchise tag for Winston.
Projected franchise tag.
You're not going to get him cheap, though. That's my point is you're not going to get him cheap on a bridge deal. You got to pay up.
What do you think about a 2-year contract with an option for a third? Team option. And it's incentive laden. For example, let's say he has, you know, for every less turnover you have, that's like 100 grand, something like that. For every win,
there's ways
that's
to structure grand. It.
Yeah.
Incentive-laden. You know, if Barrett hadn't come along in such a dynamic style, it'd be a no-brainer. And we wouldn't even be talking about, Winston's going to be franchised. The emergence of Barrett really throws a monkey wrench into this whole thing.
It really does. In a good way.
And by the way, if you franchise Barrett, it gives you another chance to see if he's a one-year wonder. That's important.
That's my take.
He doesn't have a long history. Now, who's the guy on this podcast who said Shaq Barrett will lead the Bucks in sacks this season?
Did you say that?
Me.
But
I said 7 or 8.
7, yeah.
So I'm half right. But still, to pick him to lead the team in sacks, that's not a bad call.
Well, another reason why I would think you would sign Jameis as opposed to franchising him and hit Shaq with the franchise, and this will probably freak out some people, Jameis has a proven body of work than Shaq does.
He does.
It's like, if you're trying to figure out who's the fluke, Jameis or Shaq, I would say Shaq has a better chance of being a fluke.
Winston's not going to fall off the face of the earth. He does have more of a body of work, Lee. I've never seen anybody better at shaking off an interception. I've never seen anybody, you know, the guy doesn't let it bother him.
It's like a cornerback.
And he had 24 chances to forget about it, and he's done a good job. Forget about it, Lee. Forget about it. What am I, Donnie Brasco over here? But, boy, is he firing away. He's in the record books now. He's in the record books, 450, back-to-back. I'm a little surprised that has never been done before.
I'm shocked. Oh, yes. You think of all the golden arms that play this
Drew
game.
Drew Brees and different guys.
And this is a way-back machine. You're going to freak out about this. Only Chris Russo would go crazy about this
Lynn
guy.
Lynn Dickey? No.
Way before Lynn Dickey.
All right, go ahead.
Bob Waterfield.
Oh, boy, you're showing your age over here, DeKemper. Even I didn't watch Bob Waterfield. You know, throughout the first half on Sunday, I thought Winston had a pretty good chance to set the singles game record.
What is that?
I think it's about 560. Yeah, 300 at the half.
I thought
he and if they weren't up big, he might have got it.
You know, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. That's a good point. I thought he was going to push for 500. He did. But still, you don't need 300 in what, in the first quarter?
First half, 300.
That's crazy.
He had 11 different receivers yesterday. That's impressive.
That's way impressive. And part of that was because of injuries. But still, beforehand, some of his detractors would say, oh, Mike Evans is carrying him. Oh, Chris Godwin's carrying him. When you're using 11 different receivers and all these guys are dropping like flies from injuries, that's pretty good.
It's hard to believe what's happened here, Lee. 2-6, 3-7, dead in the water, eliminated from the playoffs. I mean, this had a chance to be a 4-12 season. We'd be wondering if Arians wants to come back.
Yeah.
Leftwich's profile is dead in the dirt. So's Bowles. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody could be interested in Byron Leftwich.
I mean,
these guys are averaging 30 points. What's going on here? 7 times this year they've gone over 30 points, Lee. That's impressive, 7 times.
Has this team ever done that?
No, I don't believe they've ever done it. I came up with a number yesterday, Lee. You know I'm decent with numbers. I ain't no Tom Bassinger, but I'm good. And I had to go in the Buck Media Guide, put my glasses on to read the fine print.
Cheaters, though.
Cheaters. And I came up, Lee, between 93 and 96. It spanned Sam Weish and Dungy's first year. I'm not making this up. They went 56 straight games without scoring 30 points.
Really?
56. Now they've done it 7 times in 14 games.
Who was the quarterback for most of those games?
I got to think Dilfer.
You know, I saw something the other day that I was shocked about this. This reinforced why I'm so gung-ho about keeping Jameis and have been for some time. A good quarterback is supposed to bail you out. It's like,
hey, by the way, you know who showed up Sunday? Will Golston. Will Golston
made
some plays.
Was that his best game?
Yeah, yeah, that was his best game.
Oh, my gosh, he had some hits. That was incredible.
You know, I saw Nassib out there. I saw Sue make a couple of plays. It's not all just Barrett.
Villa was hiding yesterday.
Villa was hiding.
Now, I don't know if he was double.
Sue's had a good year. You know,
he's good, not great.
They asked me the other day on Fox Tailgate. They put eight potential free agents up, and who are you going to keep? And I kind of said the odd man out, I think, is going to be Sue. I said the odd man out. But you know what? He's had a pretty good season. But he made $9, $10 million this year, and you're not going to get him for five. I hate to monkey around with such a good run defense, but you made the point. Who cares that much about run defense?
Every coach's goal is to make an offense, an opposing offense.
One-dimensional.
Yeah. Who are all these free agents? Nassib's one. I think you should get him. I don't think anybody will break the bank for him. Obviously, Shaq's going to come back. Obviously, Jameis. Perriman,
Perriman.
Well, would Chucky go nuts for him?
I don't think so. Peyton Barber, your guy.
Bye-bye.
There were about eight names over there that Buck fans would recognize. And Dotson.
But he's gone, probably.
I think I got to bring JPP back, Lee. He's got an intangible in that locker room.
He
garners respect.
He's got an intangible, but I don't know this. But he's starting to show his age. Like, he'll have a few good games, then he'll vanish. So
how coveted would he be on the free agent market? Can you get him for a reasonable price?
Well, I was going to say, there's not too many teams that are desperate for a passer. Like the Bucks were. You might be able to because, you know, the physical factors involved, including his age.
I'll make a prediction right now. What are we thinking? The Bucks going to pick about 18, 19, 20? Something in that range over
between
there?
Between 18 and 20.
I said he'd go get a tackle, an offensive tackle. What do you say to that? I don't see anybody on the team that's ready to step in for Dotson.
As a free agent or a draft?
As a draft. I think they might consider a tackle if there's a real if there's a good one and they can get one of the top two tackles in the draft. I think they might look at it.
Scuttlebutt is the Bucks were going to draft this guy from Oklahoma last year and somebody jumped in front of the Bucks and got him.
Take a running back.
If ETN was there, darn right, I don't know if he will be. To answer your question about the offensive line, Bruce Arians. Maybe it's only famous to me because I've seen the damn thing more than a couple times. The one season where Bruce Arians was off, a couple guys from Barstool Sports went to his Georgia lakefront house. They did a sit-down with him. It was like a 45-minute interview. And in that interview, he made it clear if he came back to coaching, he would have no interest whatsoever in drafting offensive linemen. And he went into great detail as to why. And his rationale was because the proliferation of and this I've heard this before, so this isn't like something out of the blue sky. Because of the proliferation of the spread offense in college, offensive linemen take sometimes a couple of years to transition into the NFL.
Well, how are you going to get better if you don't draft one? I mean,
well, Arians, the money quote was, if you draft an offensive lineman, you're developing him for the next coach. Which is sort of what Arian said about, you know, he's not here to rebuild, he's here to reload. And I tend to take people literally when they speak in a public forum. Maybe I'm naive. Signing one's a different story.
How'd Josh Wells look?
You know, especially the way the game started, I thought it was going to be a total jailbreak. He did okay. Jameis had time to throw, so you couldn't argue with that. Apparently, Donovan Smith may be ready to go this coming weekend against Houston. Because Arian said it was close. Did you hear Arian say why he decided to go with Wells and not Donovan Smith?
No, I did not.
In pregame, during offensive line warmups, they had Allie and Donovan Smith kind of do like an Oklahoma drill. And Allie Marpet bull rushed him, and Donovan couldn't stop him.
That was it.
He said, no, I can't go. Arian said, no, you can't go.
Oh, I thought it was after practice, and you might have been out there, and you got past Donovan Smith. That must have killed Donovan Smith to miss that game.
Yeah, you know, I hear he's very proud now. You've referred to him as surly. I don't know if I'll go that far, but there's one reason why you don't see a lot of quotes about him. I'm starting to think that he's very sensitive. He reads a lot about what people are writing, especially on social media, what people are writing about him, and he's not shy about going after someone on social media. You know, you don't know the hell you're talking about, blah, 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 blah. He's never done that with us, although I have heard through the grapevine he's PO'd at Joe Bucks fan. But you notice how he's rarely available, and when he is available, the rare times he doesn't want to talk.
Yeah, you and I have noticed that during the locker room situations, he doesn't attract a lot of interest. People don't go over there because he doesn't give off that kind of vibe, like, you know, to bring you in.
Almost like an angry vibe, but it's not that. It's like a leave me alone.
Yeah, it's kind of a leave me alone. I've noticed very apparent about people weighing in on Jameis Winston. I think it's softening.
Big time.
It's softening, Lee. Even some people that were adamant you got to move on from Winston. You can't win with Winston. I think they're taking another look at this thing. Look, the team's winning. They're putting up points, and the red zone has been very, very good. Third downs have been very, very good. Yesterday, they did it without Mike Evans. We'll see what happens with Houston. Now, the Texans' pass defense, not very good, Lee.
And to your point, people in the national media, you know, they've been kind of anti-Jameis. One guy who, he sort of understands Jameis' talent, but he doesn't think you could win with him. And he said, if I was the Bucs, I'd pass on him. He changed his tune. Michael Lombardi, GM shuffle.
Nobody reads Lombardi like you do, DeKemper. You read everything that guy says.
Mostly I listen to what he says in his podcast. And he watched the Bucs-Lions game yesterday.
He didn't have a better game to watch? He's watching the Bucs and the Lions?
Well, what he doesn't gamble on games, but he puts out his, you know, these are my picks. He works for Vissen. And he claims he's like at about a 68% clip. Like, if the big dog, Steve Dumick, was around, he would say he's a liar.
I do three games with you every week, and I ain't at 68%. Well, I can tell you that.
This guy claims he's at 68%. But he says whatever picks he does, he likes to watch that game. And so he had the Bucs. He picked the Bucs. You sure heard him talk about Matt Patricia. And he knows Matt Patricia. He worked with Matt Patricia. He hates Matt Patricia. Anyway, he's like, you can't get rid of Jameis. You can't get rid of him. He goes, first off, who are the Bucs going to get that's out there that's better than him? He goes, Mariota, give me a break. Mariota's not better than him. He goes, I've come around on Jameis. He said, it's like you're in love with a girl, then you break up with her, then you come back to her. He goes, that's where I am with Jameis. He said, I think Jameis is the kind of guy, he's so good that you're just going to have to live with the mistakes. Somehow mediate the mistakes. Somehow limit the mistakes. But I think he's the kind of guy you just live with. You take the good with the bad.
You know, it reminds me of that Jeff Garcia quote about Gruden. He likes to date quarterbacks, but he doesn't want to marry one. I think Arians is going to marry Winston. And, well, you know, and maybe more for more than one season.
You know, we were talking about 2 to 3 year contract with Jameis. Do you think the powers that be at $1, and obviously we're not talking about Jason Light or Bruce Arians, it's the guys who hold the checkbooks. Do you think they would sign Jameis to a contract that would match Arians?
I think they're fully behind Jameis Winston at this point.
At this point?
I believe ownership is fully behind Jameis
Winston. Wow. So if you heard, I don't know, let's say sometime in January, out of the clear blue sky, if you heard they signed him to a 5-year contract, you would not be shocked.
I would not be. Look, they're exciting. They're exciting. People are talking about this team. When's the last time the Bucs were exciting? They're entertaining.
You heard what Brent Musburger calls Jameis, right? Mr. Entertainment?
Mr. Entertainment.
He said there's no player, bar none, there's no player in the NFL as entertaining as Jameis.
Why? Because he gives both teams
both teams, yeah. I wrote this Monday morning in a thing I do, a five things column. And you know this as well as I do. The Glazers have been craving for a quarterback for decades. I don't think it's unfair to say decades. They might be craving for one since they bought the team.
They own this team for 25 years.
They've been craving for a quarterback like this, and they got him. Yeah, he makes mistakes. Yeah, he's not perfect. But you know what? Like, and you pointed this out earlier. You turn on ESPN. You turn on Fox Sports Network. You turn on NFL Network. You turn on Mike Florio's show. What are they talking about? They aren't talking about Ali Marpet. They're not talking about Will Golston. They're talking about Jameis. And the Glazers love that.
And they're talking about a 7-7 football team, yes, which otherwise they wouldn't be.
Yeah. Jameis makes the Bucs relevant. And the Glazers like that. I can't see them getting rid of the guy. Unless the people who represent him just out some outrageous figure. Like, you know, you got to give us 7 years at $120 million.
You know who didn't have a bad day Sunday, Lee? Besides people that bet on the Bucs to cover. Jason Light. And I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Look who stepped up.
Perriman. Yes.
Sean Bunting. Guys that have made it. Jamel Dean played well. These are people. O.J. Howard contributed.
Oh, he can't block. Well, they quote, give up.
I thought he was supposed to be a great blocker.
He ain't. Give it up. Give it up. Yeah. He's more Kellen Winslow the first than he is Mike Ditka.
So, Light didn't have a bad day. And we were killing Light about Perriman. You know, the guy can't catch. He's dropping a million balls. He don't know how to run routes. And now he's made, you know what? He's the guy they thought they had with DeSean Jackson. That was a good point by you.
Yeah.
The last month.
Yeah, that is basically what they thought they had with DeSean Jackson. Jason Light, and he's got a lot of detractors, and his record is not good. There are two positions he's uncanny about picking. And whenever he selects these two positions, I think Bucs fans can have confidence these guys are going to work out. One's linebackers. You know, think about this. He went for that weirdo accident that Kevin Beckwith had, not Kevin Beckwith.
Kendall Beckwith.
Kendall Beckwith.
He looked good as a rookie.
Darn right he did. Light nose linebackers.
And he was a linebacker, I believe.
He was offensive lineman.
Oh, he was offensive lineman.
Which okay. begs the question, what the hell?
And what's the other spot? What's
wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Now, we were killing Light for a lot of reasons. All of a sudden, Scotty Miller, Justin Watson, Breshad Perriman, all of a sudden, these guys look like keepers.
Godwin was a hell of a pick.
Third round pick. I think it's fair to say when Jason Light picks a wide receiver or a linebacker, you can have confidence this guy's going to contribute.
So let him pick those two categories and let Arians take over the rest, and then and there you go. By the way, is there a receiver tougher to tackle than Chris Godwin in this league?
He's tough.
Nobody wants to tackle this guy. He runs with such a physical style.
Yes.
Lee.
Well, I remember Light had told me about that when they drafted him, that the guy was so good in traffic.
He just keeps getting better and better. He's better and better.
You mentioned these two in passing. I want your feedback on this. Dean and Bunting. Are they your starting corners of the future?
I think Dean's ahead of Bunting, even though Bunting made the play of the game on Sunday. Dean's around the ball a lot, and I like that. You and I have been screaming for about 3 years now. Uncontested passes. There's nobody around the ball. Well, Dean's around the ball. And how do you know? Passes defensed.
He leads
that
the
category.
League.
Does he lead the league?
Yeah, 17. Or it's going to be 19.
Wow.
And he hasn't started that much.
You know, and it's not like they're just picking on the guy.
Which they may have been initially.
That Hargraves dumping, it got everybody's attention. It did. Hawk he wasn't some... playing any worse than some of the other guys at that time. But he was the veteran.
But the thing was, it wasn't so much a Hargraves playing awful. The fact that the Bucks cut loose a first-round draft pick was like a wake-up call to those rookies. Like, whoa, they can do this to a first-round pick. They can sure do that to me. I better get my head out of my derriere.
And you can talk all you want about accountability, Lee, but unless you back it up, it doesn't mean diddly.
It's empty words.
Empty words. Speaking of empty words, that brings me to Ozzie. Ozzie, if you just cracked up if you're listening to this. Lee, this guy's one in a million, Ozzie. I mean, the guy had a megaphone.
He's a fun guy.
He is something. He's the Baron of Sarasota over there. loves the website. You know, loves the podcast. By the way, I'm doing a shout-out right now to Nigel Kerwin of the Lightning. He's been their video coordinator for like 20 years.
Not to be confused with Pat Kerwin.
This is Nigel Kerwin, and I ran into him because I went to the Lightning game against the Bruins Thursday night. Saw Mark Dittler. Corey Long, Erlinson, and Phil Esposito almost fainted when he saw me.
Why?
What are you doing up here, Kaufman? Like you saw a ghost.
Were you freelancing again?
No, just wanted to go to a Lightning game. It's good atmosphere up there. Anyway, I see Kerwin before the game, and he says, love the podcast, Kaufman.
Oh, is that right?
Love the podcast. Tell the Kemper to keep up the good work. Where's Isbits? You know, he threw everything. So
That's Ian Beckles' buddy, isn't it?
I believe it is. So we're going to do another one at $1, right, Lee?
Ladies
and then Saturday, we got something funky planned for after the Bucks game.
Jamel Dean, we talked about him and how he's always near the ball. He has a lot of passes defended. And on the other side, you got Bunting. Now, I don't know how well Bunting's played. He got toasted a few times up in Detroit. But you know what? It may be too short of a sample size, but the son of a gun makes big plays at big times.
And he's got good hands.
Yeah, the interception he had at Jacksonville, I remember it was going to be a one-score game.
Yeah.
He got the pick.
That was the goal line stand, right?
Goal line stand. And then against Detroit, when Detroit was starting to make people, you know, start biting their fingernails, what the hell's going on here? And he gets that pick six. Big play at a big moment.
That's going to earn him more playing time, Lee.
I think
Carlton Davis is still in the mix somewhere. I think they're going to get a veteran. I think they're going to get a veteran in free agency. There's always somebody available. And I think you need a senior voice in that room. Hey, you know what? Maybe somebody from a playoff has got some playoff experience. You can find those guys.
There you got to be careful because, Liam, we're just talking about Deshaun Jackson. That was a bad mix bringing him, even though he had playoff experience.
Light has to remember his own mantra. Most free agent mistakes are made from, and draft picks mistakes are made from the shoulder up.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember that. Do your research. Do your research.
Now, what kind of message do you have for Bucks fans that maybe they're a little too giddy about? Michael Lombardi said it's about the win over the Lions. He said, let calm down. He goes, the Lions, it's a slow defense that plays a high school defense.
They've lost 10 of 11 games, Lee. They have. They've lost 10 of 11 games. You got to remember that. But Houston's a decent team, Lee. They're 9-5. They lead the AFC South. They just went into Nashville. Tennessee had been playing good football. Derrick Henry was running over everybody, and they beat them. Houston beat them on the road. That's a heck of a road win.
And I'll say Lombardi again here. Lombardi said the key to the Texans, and we'll get into Texans more later, but he said the key with the Texans, Will Fuller.
You know what? He's right. He is right. Because otherwise, you load up on DeAndre Hopkins. Fuller could stretch the field. Fuller is Brett Perryman and probably better than Brett Perryman. But he's always hurt. Mm-hmm. And when he's in the lineup, he makes Hopkins better. He makes Deshaun Watson a lot more dangerous. They don't run the ball particularly well, Lee. They're a downfield passing game. And Watson, here's what the Bucs have to watch out for. His mobility. He's right there with Russell Wilson, a notch below Lamar Jackson. There's only one Lamar Jackson. But, boy, he can move, Watson.
What do you say to Bucs fans about, you know, the Bucs? You know, they're on this winning streak. Who knows? 9-7 is within reach. I don't know if I'll say it or not that they'll do it. And with all these injuries, I don't know. What do you say to Bucs fans that they're giddy about beating these teams? Well, do you want to caution them? Do you want to encourage them? What kind of advice do you have for Bucs fans? You've seen the Bucs now, you know, since they were born against McKay.
I got three words. Enjoy the ride. I mean, you know, you got an exciting team. They're on the young side. Winston is peaking in his professional career. It looks like the Winston-Arians marriage with Leftwich is a good one. You got to enjoy it. They put up 30 against Houston without Evans and Godwin. You really got something. But it doesn't mean they're poised to win the NFC South in 2020. They have to have a smart 2020 offseason, and that's what it's going to take.
Your appearance at Buffalo Wild Wings, you saw Ozzie.
That was my last appearance of the season at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Are you chagrined about that?
You know what? I enjoy it. I have a good time. I always see I see familiar faces. And Zach the intern came down.
Dan Beast intern.
I hope he won his fantasy game against his girlfriend. That could impact that relationship if she beat him. That's a problem.
Do other Bucs fans come up to you? Did they recognize you in Sarasota?
They do. They do. The place was packed. Absolutely packed. You know, they were Packer fans. They wanted to watch the Packer game. Look, they're living in Sarasota. It's going to be predominantly Buc fans. And by the way, somebody I know was, he's a Vikings fan, and he was watching the Vikings-Chargers game, and it was in that 35,000-seat stadium before the Chargers move into Kroenke's place.
Okay.
And he said, from what he could tell on television, 80% of the crowd was rooting for the Vikings in L.A.
I believe that.
What a disaster for the Chargers.
Technically, the Chargers have roughly two home games a year.
And I don't know. I don't know how much better it's going to be next year. I mean, they're the number two tenant in a two-tenant town. I don't want to be under Stan Kroenke's thumb.
Well, from a financial standpoint, it was smart for them to move to Los Angeles because the value of their franchise doubled. Overnight, doubled. But yeah, you're basically at the mercy of Kroenke, your second banana in a bad football market. There's a reason why the Los Angeles had no NFL team for decades.
All I know is you and I are looking forward to the Vegas trip next year. You're already thinking of it. Are we hoping to be joined by Buc fans out there? Do we want Buc fans?
It's going
to
happen.
We might have a little event out there.
There will be an event out there. I'm going to talk with my contacts with MGM Resorts, see if we can get, and I'm confident we will, see if we can get some deal on some rooms, maybe at the Mirage, maybe at Aria. Man, their rates have gone up. I guess they had to because the lawsuit with that shooting spree last year, that was on MGM Resorts property. And man, their rates have gone up.
Maybe I could stay with Gruden. You know, you might. Lee, on that note.
Oh, well, you mentioned Gruden, and I'll say this, and you can add something to it, and then we'll go. Chris Sims, who, by the way, was the second last quarterback to lead a Chucky team to the playoffs with the Bucs. Mike Florio asked Chris Sims, if somehow or another the Bucs screw the pooch, so to speak, with Jameis' contract negotiations, would Chucky want him? And by the way, Derek Carr had a lousy day yesterday. And would Chucky want him? And immediately I thought, well, yeah, because Chucky, my theory on Chucky is there isn't a quarterback out there he hasn't met that he doesn't like until he plays for him.
What'd Sims say?
No way.
Too many mistakes?
Yeah, no way. He goes, Gruden would not tolerate.
How do you know Gruden doesn't think he can fix him?
That's what I thought, too. But Chris was adamant. No way. No way Gruden would touch him.
Well, maybe he's right, because Gruden has used Brad Johnson. and Jeff Garcia. And those guys were close to the vest guys. They were not Daryl LaMonica, the mad bomber.
Jeff Garcia was a little bit.
And Derek Carr's not a bomber either.
Well, he and Chucky inherited Brad Johnson.
But these guys don't throw a lot of picks. Mm. And so maybe Sims is on a good track there. Some people think somehow that the Raiders are going to do some kind of a swap with the Bucs and Carr's going to end up on the Bucs. I don't know that Derek Carr's better than Jameis Winston.
Who came up with that?
I don't know. It could be Ozzie. We're out of here, guys.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right. Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.